This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the sesh. Today I got a special guest. The first time I heard about you was on YouTube, and it's a very interesting thing because I had stumbled upon that statistic that McAllen and the surrounding cities was the most obese city in the nation. So before we jump into this, kind of let everybody know who you are, your background, and what you do.
Hey, I'm Rudy Tovar. I'm from Brownsville, Texas. I know some folks think I'm from McAllen, but I'm born and raised in Brownsville. And currently I work in a realty company, working the front desk in Brownsville.
So you came on my radar when I had started losing a ton of weight too. I was obese. I was at 250 pounds at one point. That was my heaviest. Mm-hmm. And I had always struggled with weights, with food. I'm an emotional eater. And your story very resonated with me, man. So I was like, you know what? You are the perfect candidates to be able to figure out what I've been trying to figure out for a long time. Is how to fight obesity in the Rio Grande Valley. I know you can't abolish it, yeah. But you can lower it, right?
Yeah.
So my burning question is, and I'll start this right off, is how do we fix or how do we lower obesity in the Rio Grande Valley?
The main thing is diet, because, you know, I'm sure you're aware, like, good food is expensive. Like, when I say good food, I mean vegetables, fruits, lean meats, all that stuff, that rarely ever on sale. It's always more expensive, and it's cheaper just to get junk food from HEB, Walmart, or whatever, because it's, and it'll last you longer.
For sure.
But it's, you gotta work it out so you can get the good food. Sometimes meal prep, sometimes just have it in your head what you're gonna eat. And it's all about portion control in reality, because it's like, okay, I'm not saying you can't, like, go out on a Sunday or Saturday, whatever cheat day you want to do, and have some pizza or whatever. But you have to have your week with good, clean food, mm-hmm. and actually be active. Like, you can't just, diet is the majority of it, but you also have to be active.
So let's talk about how you had to, your mindset, how you had to change your mindset. At what point were you the heaviest? What weight was that?
I want to say maybe 2021, 2022. Having to change the mindset was...
Well, how heavy were you at that point?
About 630, 640-ish.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so... never been that big before. Prefer not to go back that big ever again.
What was going through your mind during that time?
Well, I wasn't in, like, a great place, because the big thing that had happened about a decade past was my sister had passed on January 31st, and I was taking care of both my sister and my mom, but my mom was currently at the hospital because she had gotten an infection and she was diabetic. So they were trying to catch it and clean it to where it's like minimum hindrances to her. But In the end, they had to end up amputating, I believe, her right leg up to the knee. And my mom didn't like to be alone at the hospital, so my sister usually got stuck having to stay there overnight, and she was also just very large as well. So finally, we were able to get her home for a night, and the following morning, we were going to go ahead and go do some errands. And so I woke up in the morning and I was like, hey, let me know what you want me to get you for breakfast when I'm starting to get things ready. And went to the bathroom, came out, and I was like, hey, well, what'd you want? No response. So I was went to go check and went to check on her, and she had passed.
Wow.
Overnight. And I didn't really know what to do because I hadn't had to do that before. My dad had passed when I was 7, but I wasn't there because they didn't let kids into the hospital rooms back then. So panicked a little, freaked out, called the 911, ambulance came, and ended up having to help the paramedics move her because, like I said, she was a larger person. My sister was the person I was closest to, since my dad passed. And a lot of my sarcasm and jokes and 80s knowledge comes from her because I would spend the most time with her. Because my mom was always working as a teacher's aide. She was a teacher's aide with special needs for 25 years. So she was either working or when the holidays came around, she'd sell tamales and stuff. Losing both of them within 6 months, because my sister died in January, my mom died in August, and so losing them that quickly within each other kind of messed with something. But I'm one of those that when a problem happens, I have to figure it out, deal with it, and go on. I don't really process things. So having to do that twice, and then in the middle of that, I also got into a relationship that I wasn't really mentally ready for, and that was just another whole set of issues. So it's just all within a year. And so, like, once my mom I buried my mom and all that, I just focused on working, and what I'm good at doing is call center work. Mm-hmm. Because it's customer service, but you don't have to look at the customer.
Right.
You just have to be able to, you know, thank you for calling such and such. My name is Rudy. How may I help you today? Okay, I understand. Let me go ahead and do that. And even if they cuss you out, which they do, customers, no matter which project you work on, tend to cuss you out a lot.
Yeah. Like, customer's not always right.
Yeah, and sometimes they make it too personal. So, I did that for the following decade. And not going to lie, call center work is a soul-crushing job because humans weren't meant to be degraded for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then, you know, not have a way to
have an outlet
for it. Yeah, because all I felt like I did was wake up, go to work, come home, eat, go to sleep,
mm-hmm.
then go back. So I did that for a decade, and then we started with the pandemic. We started working at home, so I didn't have to worry about, like, going to the shower as often, what I ate, what I look like, whatever. I grew my hair out for like 2 years. And so I just kept getting bigger and bigger, but I didn't really pay attention or notice because I'm not one to usually like look at the mirror that often. So, and it just got to the point to where I couldn't get up, and that's when I met Jesse.
Wow. So now what is your mentality now? Like, what had to shift in your mind? What was it, the help from somebody? What was it specifically that helped you move to this new mindset?
The main thing was that while I was in the hospital, I had saved some money to pay bills just in case. And because to me, call center work, it's never a guarantee. You can get hired or fired the same day, whatever. So I had put away enough money to take care of bills till about like the end of September, October. And after that, I wasn't going to be able to keep my apartment. So I had reached out to my friend Alex to see if he could talk to the people at my church in Brownsville to see if maybe they could help provide part of that monthly rent or something like that, which he went ahead and asked. And then, you know, it's one of those things where it's by committee. So when a friend of mine, Mark Bernard, he was the parent, he is the father of about three kids I went to elementary through high school with. His daughter's like 1 year older than me. His son's a couple years younger. His youngest son is maybe like 4 or 5 years younger. So he's known me since I was five, because I've been at that church since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so he came to visit me, and he was just kind of like, what happened? Like, because when I was living in Harlingen, I didn't have the vehicle. My car that I'd had busted within like the first year or so of me being there, but I was able to walk to work because I took the closest apartment to the call center. Uh-huh. So, and so we kind of talked and we're trying to figure things out because, you know, I was so large at that point. It's not like any family members would be able to help me. Because I have a cousin and uncle that lives in Brownsville also, but my uncle's like in his 70s, my cousin's 50, and they've got their own issues, so yeah. Trying to help me out would have been impossible. And it just so happened that Mark would go to a back doctor, because he had been in a car crash, and he was telling him about myself, and he goes, well, I have these two clients, and they gave me their card, and they're registered nurses, and they're going to be starting a place out of Harlingen, and why don't you call them? So he reached out, he talked to them, and initially the main lady in charge was kind of like, I don't know, you know, if this guy falls, we can't get him up.
Yeah.
But they took a chance on me and got me in there. The paramedics, when they got me in there, took about like six of them. They had to literally take the door off the hinges and to get me into the bed. And what's it called? And that's where that's the main point of the help. He also asked his son Jeremy to start a GoFundMe because it was going to be a monthly charge of about $2,500.
Wow.
And, you know, nobody's really got that line around.
It almost seems impossible for people to change their lives without sufficient income.
Yeah. And at that point, I wasn't working, and I had applied for SSI, which is sort of like a Social Security type thing to assist you. But I was told it could take like at least a year or so for that to actually go through. Mm-hmm. And that was with an advocate. Oh. So, but thankfully the people that read the GoFundMe, you know, helped out a lot through those, through that time. Some of them were people I knew, some were people I'd never met. That helped, but Mark also, he runs this thing called Masters Men from our church, which my dad was a part of back when I was a kid. And it's essentially a group of men that get together, read kind of like a devotional type thing, talk to each other about it, and pray together, and then go have breakfast and get to know each other on a more personal level. So this way everyone connects.
Right.
And so because of Masters Men, one of the people who joined was a Christian therapist, and he wanted to help me work through some stuff. And you know, I'm from the Valley. I'm like, I'm a guy. We don't do therapy.
We don't talk about anything.
Yeah. Just suck it up.
Right.
Yeah. It's just like, whatever. And he was like, no, it'll probably help. Like, at least meet the guy once or whatever. And I was like, all right. So I go, it's not like I can run away. I'm stuck in this bed. So I met with him and his wife and, let them get to know me a little bit, and they were like, okay, well, we're just gonna we'll meet like once a week, we'll talk about small things, feelings, things that you're comfortable with, and then as it goes on, we'll talk about other things. And so, because I got, you know, I'm just like everybody else, we got problems that we don't deal with, because losing my dad at 7, when that happened, I had an older brother who, when my nephew asked why I was crying, he was like, oh, it's just because he's lame, let's put it that way. And so I didn't cry again for like 9-10 years.
It's interesting how powerful words are, huh?
Yeah, and especially when it's from your own family.
Right.
Because you know, everybody's family plays around and all that, but like when you're going through something that's that big, and
they kind of write it off like it's nothing. It's
yeah, and especially when they're that much older than you, and you're a kid. When you're a kid, especially, it sticks with you. So,
I've always said that you are a product of your environment. Is there any truth to that?
I think so, because, yes and no. Because in my family, my brother was 20 years older than me. My sister was 12. And my brother is from my mom's first marriage. And my sister and I are from the second marriage with my dad. And my brother didn't really have a good relationship with his dad. And from what my family, what my mom and sister told me, is that even though my dad would try to, like, be like, hey, and connect with them, he just didn't want to hear it. And so when my dad passed, I guess he felt some guilt about the way that he treated him. But where I grew up in East Polk, which was it's not the nicest part of town. My neighbor was a drug dealer, very nice guy, but one time after I went in from playing, I was like 5, maybe like 4 minutes later, we heard pop, pop, pop.
Shit.
And my dad went to go see, and the guy got shot, so they called for ambulance and all that. So, you know, technically, it's a bad environment, but my mom and dad wanted to make sure I had a chance to grow up and be better than where I'm from. Right. So I ended up going to First Baptist from K-5 through 8th grade. And then from First Baptist, I went to Valley Christian for all 4 years.
Let me ask you this. When you first met up with Jesse from the YouTube video, what was going through your mind? I know we're talking off camera, and you had some reservations about it. Can you kind of touch on that?
Well, yeah, because I tend to study people before I want to
interact
with them, because it's just my nature. So, you know, videos can show you a personality, but that doesn't mean that's their actual personality. So as I talked to him a little bit, I was just seeing how all he was, and I was like, all right, this guy seems okay. So I was pretty much like, whatever you want to ask, go ahead and ask. If it's, you know, if it's anything that I don't want to talk about, I'll let you know. But otherwise, it's all good as long as it'll help somebody.
Right.
Because that's the main thing of what I'm trying to do with all the stuff that's been happening is like, well, as long as it helps somebody. Because social media, it's not really my thing. But now, ever since I think I came back from Tennessee and the Fit Farm with Jesse, I'd been adding the workouts and things which people watch and like. And so I'm doing that just to show, like, I'm trying, you know, just... Yeah.
So kind of touch on the process of what happened. So you meet up with Jesse, you have this conversation. What does that conversation sound like? And then what happens right after that?
Well, he asked, you know, like how do I deal with things day to day? How would there be a way to better eat here, you know, with, like this way you could kind of stop obesity. And I go, well, it's kind of hard to stop obesity because a lot of the times, because I know some people have the SNAP card or whatever, but, and they can, so they don't really care. They can afford to get whatever they need, vegetables, meat, fruit, whatever. But the majority of us have to go with a budget. And so we know, okay, we have 150 for the month or 200 for the month. If I get this, it's going to cost this, that, and the other. So just doing that with, even with the coupons that HEB provides, it's hard to stay within that budget. And what kind of sucks is that chips, Cokes, all the fatty crap that we shouldn't eat is cheaper than the good food. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think the people, either in the government or on TV or whatever, is saying, like, I don't get why everybody's so overweight and this and that. And it's like, well, lower the price of the fruit and stuff, or make the other junk more just as expensive. Because at that point, you're going to have to choose which way you want to go.
The option, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not that a lot of people don't want to. Some people can't afford to. And we also talked about the first time that I went to a gym in Brownsville, and some guy came up to me. I think it was about like 400 at that point. And he's like, oh, you know, how long do you think it'll last or whatever? And that kind of bugged me, because it's like, dude, I'm not talking to anybody, I'm not bugging anybody, why you got to come up here? And
that's the strangest thing that I've found, is like, when people are trying to work on their life and you maybe do something wrong or something that's not correct in other people's eyes, mm-hmm. they bash you for the stupidest things in the world and says, hey, great fucking job, good job, keep going, keep at it. I don't really understand what goes through people's minds when they do that stuff. Do you have any enlightenment with that?
Well, my thing is, I usually, despite the videos and stuff like that, I work out alone a lot of the times. And the way I learned how to work out was through magazines that I would find at like HEB or whatever, the Muscle Fitness. They had routines and things to do. So I was like, okay, I can do this, that, and the other, and just memorize it. And of course, this is before YouTube. So nowadays you can watch anything on YouTube and figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
But working out either with a friend or with a trainer is, I think, better, because you have that motivation. Because sometimes, like when I was trying to push a weight and it's hard, or I was trying to jog on the treadmill, having Brandon go, come on, don't quit, you know, just giving me some motivational stuff helps me try and push, because otherwise I have to picture in my head something to do it myself, and sometimes it'll work, sometimes it might not.
Yeah. But, no, I think you're absolutely right. Having a trainer on one end is motivation, because for me, I simply cannot do it myself. I lack the mentality to be like, I got to go to the gym. I got to do this myself. For one, that's already hard. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact that the reason why it was so hard for me to lose weight and get in shape, right, is it takes so damn long to get any progress.
Yeah.
Have you found that?
It's going to take at least 2 to 3 weeks for you to start seeing any kind of progress or change within your body.
Well, for me, it took 6 months. I was like, I was back and forth, kept going.
Well, see, there's little things like how I would pay attention with stuff. Because if I'm looking to see, oh, am I dropping a pant size or whatever, then yeah, it's going to take like a couple months or whatever. But if I look for the little things, like my hands usually have like a lot more fat covering it over the knuckles. So when I saw them starting to protrude a little bit, I was like, okay, well, it's working. Because mm-hmm. now I'm starting to see a small result. Just kept doing more stuff. Okay, I'm actually seeing veins in my hands now. And be like, okay, there's more results. Now, the scale might not always show it, but if you pay attention to your body and see those things, then like to me, I don't take it as, okay, I didn't fail because the needle didn't move or it went up or down. I'm seeing the changes already. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to encourage yourself. So this, because I know a lot of people, when they stare at the numbers, because the scale is crap. It's I think it tends to make you feel worse about yourself. And so that's why I'm not a big fan of doing it like every, like checking the scale every day or whatever. That's why I prefer to do it once a month, because mm-hmm. you're going to have some sort of result within a month, yeah. whether you've built muscle or dropped fat or something.
And it just shows you like the lack of patience that most people have, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're a species of, we want instant gratification, especially now. So we expect to, okay, I worked out for a week, so I should have dropped at least like 2 pounds, 3 pounds. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I lose it? What's going on? And this and that. So thankfully, with like a lot of the stuff that I was doing, working out and all that, I've worked out before, I've lost weight before. So I kind of knew, okay, it's not going to be dropping big numbers all the time. Like when I was first starting off, yeah, bigger numbers came off, like 20, 30 pounds a month. But one, it was water weight. And two, there's more fat to lose. Mm-hmm. So once you start getting rid of that, it gets harder to do. And I mean, like with myself, something that I kind of keep in mind sometimes is my body's been going at it nonstop for the past 2 years. It's going to get tired sometimes of even with all the work. I think that's why sometimes there's that plateau stuff and that muscle thing that he was talking about. So, you know, there are going to be times where you don't see huge results, but that doesn't mean just quit. Because like I said, it takes sometimes 3 or some odd weeks for you to develop to see results, or 2 weeks to develop a new habit. Mm-hmm. It only takes 3 days to stop that habit.
Wow. Let me share with you what worked for me. I remember at my biggest, I would look in the mirror all the time. Like, I forced myself to look in the mirror, and I would talk to myself. I was like, you're such a fat fuck. You need to do something to change your life today. I had to say that over and over and over and over again until it got stuck in my head. Is tough love a way to be able to combat that?
For some people, different things work for different people. A lot of times, like I said, when I work out alone, and I'm having a hard time, like say on the treadmill and I'm trying to push harder, I play movies in my head of where there's somebody running. So like no, it's cliche, but like the Rocky IV part where they're running and doing all that, I have that playing in my head so that way I can try and push a little harder, dig a little harder. And Everybody's got to find what works for them. So tough love can be, but like a lot of times if, cause some people were like, oh, I got dumped, so I just started losing weight for revenge. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, if that works for you,
yeah.
That works for you, go get it, you know?
Yeah.
But like for me, sometimes I have to schedule everything cause I'm not much of a planner by nature. I just tend to have a daily work thing and all that. But now that I'm got an exercise routine and stuff down, it's like, okay, Monday, Wednesday, I need to make sure I at least go to the gym on those days. And then if I'll check with my friends, see maybe if they're available so I can go on a Thursday. And on Sundays, I incorporate walking a lot. Because I like to go thrift store shopping. Mm-hmm. So after I go to church on Sunday, have lunch, I go to a couple stores in Brownsville that we have. Then I'll drive to Harlingen, walk around the different stores and all that. And I won't come home sometimes till like 10 o'clock at night.
So you're out all day.
I'm out all day just walking. And with thrift store shopping, you're walking, you're bending, you're lifting, you're doing all these things. And it's you're not thinking about it because you're just shopping. You're just doing life stuff.
So you're working out, what, about 4 times a week?
At least 3 to 4, yeah.
Okay. And what does your diet look like now?
I try to eat either fish or chicken because I like those things. I do eat vegetables, which I never ate vegetables before. Growing up, I hated vegetables. There's still a couple I won't eat. I do not like onions.
I love onions. I hate tomatoes, man.
Nah, I can't. Well, tomatoes, I can push through. I do like green beans. I like squash. Carrots aren't bad. I know it's weird being Hispanic, but I don't like beans.
Wow.
Yeah. Never have, never will. went out with a girl once and her mom was making beans and I guess she told her while they were in the kitchen, she's like, what do you mean he doesn't like beans? He's Mexican. I was like, awesome.
So let's talk about specifically the budget of food, because you're talking about what, $150 to $200 a month for food specifically, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like specifically? Because I found it that for one, food's very expensive.
Yeah.
And it keeps going up and up and up. So what does your meals look like specifically to be able to hit your enough nutrients, enough calories throughout the week? What does that look like?
Mainly a meat, whether it's fish or chicken, and then some type of vegetable or salad. And then I can either have like water or one of those Coke Zeros. I prefer Dr. Pepper Zero. But then I'm also taking in the morning the Gorilla Mind protein thing for, I think it's a cookies and cream flavor. And then before I go work out, I take the pre-workout, drink water while I work out. And then when I get home, I take the amino acid.
Okay.
So that's, and then when I'm at work, I have like at least 2 cups of coffee.
Do you kind of know how many calories you're supposed to eat per day, per week, and stuff like that?
Well, with me, because I'm a bigger person, I think they have me at like 2,700, but I try to keep it max 25 or under.
Do you find that that's sufficient enough for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to get me through a day. Because there were times, like sometimes I would only eat like once a day back before I started working out and all that. But now that I work out, I do need to have something in my system. Otherwise, I just get real worn out or sleepy.
I got you. Let's talk about emotional eating, because I am an emotional eater. I never learned that term until my dad talked about it. So I grew up in Dairy Queen, and from the age of 3 to 30, and I remember talking about it. He talked about it once, and it stuck in my head. I was like, oh shit, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm an emotional eater. Do you have that problem?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think it's just that I find comfort in certain foods that I would have or whatever. Like, stuff that, like, chips, the pizza you can make at home, well, popcorn, combos, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to think, because I don't really... I didn't get a lot of different kind of things. I would just get, like, lots of the same type of thing. Yeah. Probably, like, snack cakes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think the one thing that helped me was when I found fasting. I started fasting about 2 years ago, and I did a 48-hour fast, and then I just started fasting every single day until, like, around 2 o'clock. And I saw that it started helping with my mental clarity, mm-hmm. and it helped me limit the amount of food that I was taking in a day. And it helped me curb the food intake. And also, I don't have as much as an emotional attachment to food as I did before. But there are times when I just crave stuff. But I force myself now just to eat chicken. Like, the main basic, the blandest things in the world. I was so bad at one point. I was just eating stuff cold. And I was like, fuck, why am I doing this to myself, man? It's just... So I got a little warmer. Mm-hmm. And now I eat warm, hot food every single day. It's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that it being hot gives it that little bit of elevated, I guess, comfort for me.
Yeah.
Do you find those tricks, anything like that you do specifically to help you with that?
Switching out things like candy and stuff for... switching that out with fruit, because I'm the main fruits that I like are like bananas, pears, oranges, apples, stuff like that. And I have the little Jell-O cup that's like sugar free, and it's like 5 calories. Mm-hmm. So I have that, or in the morning sometimes I might also have like an Activia yogurt. With, because I tend to eat eggs a lot. So that's because I'm trying to get as much protein as possible.
So touch on the importance of protein in a diet, because I don't think people really understand that. Like, I only stumbled upon that a few years ago. It's like the protein is you trying to keep as much muscle as possible. So can you please touch on that?
Yeah, because apparently that helps to build the muscle and keep it there. Because so that's why you're supposed to eat. Protein heavy, well, at least me, because protein heavy foods. So that's why I like chicken, fish. I also eat like tuna fish, not just fillet, like little fillets or whatever. Eggs is also a good source, and then the things like those protein powders and all that help give you a kick there, because there are things, I think, like beans are also a good thing for protein. But since I'm not a fan, I got to find other ways to do it.
I got you.
So
let's talk. You touched on something very important. It's the machismo of the Rio Grande Valley male. There is no one more that is machismo than men here in the Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah.
What is it about that specifically here in the Rio Grande Valley, what is it about that stops men from being able to share their feelings, to share their, I guess, the camaraderie between men? Like, what is it?
I think it's just from what we see from the older generation and stuff like that. Because like I said, my brother was 20 years older than me. So since my dad wasn't there, I would occasionally see what he was doing because he was having to raise his kid, but he was very macho.
Yeah.
And because he was one of those that in high school he played like football, baseball, all that stuff. And in high school, since I went to a very small high school, I was on the basketball team for like 2 years, but I preferred doing things like the extracurriculars, like the newspaper, working at the youth with my church back when I was a teenager and doing things there. And I was more of a reader, academic person than jockey, even though I'm a big person. Because I love to read. I grew up reading, and even now I still sometimes look for books to read. And when my dad passed, my mom got me, because I was real down at that point, she got me Death of Superman comic books and goes like, look, you know, dad's not the only one who's passed. You know, Superman's passed too. And I was just like, I thought that was weird, so I just started reading it. And so that, I was like, oh, well, I'm gonna look and see what Superman's all about. And so I just kind of latched on to that character, mm-hmm. and wanting to emulate him growing up, because due to a lack of my dad not being there, my mom wasn't seeing anybody or dating anybody, because someone asked her once, like, how come you don't date, after, you know, even though I'm Rudy Tobar Jr. So mm-hmm. she's like, well, even though Rudy passed, why don't you go find another guy or whatever? And my mom's like, I've had the good, I've had the bad, I don't need to find the ugly.
Interesting.
So I would just, like I said, I would just observe to see who is a good person to emulate, not just in books, but in like real life. So a lot of the fathers that were at my church, I would be like, okay, this guy seems all right. He might not know that I'm paying attention to him, but I'm paying attention to him.
Yeah.
And I would try to take stuff that they were teaching their kids and apply it to my life. Yeah. So even though I didn't grow up very macho, I grew up with some of the lessons that my mom or teachers told us, because my 8th grade teacher, because since we were the oldest ones there at that time, now it's a high school, so it goes all the way up to high school now, but when we started 8th grade, they were like, look, all the kids that are younger than you are going to be looking up to you because you're the oldest ones here, and so you need to think about that when you're out there doing whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're teenagers, but you still have a sense of responsibility. And my mom also said, I only know what you're doing when you're here at the house. Once you leave the house, I have no idea what you're up to. But something you need to keep in mind is when you leave the house, you represent the family. Not just me, but your dad, your sister, your brother. People know who we are, so they'll know they know who you are.
Right.
So if you're out doing something stupid, they're going to be like, ah, well, look, Norma's brother is off doing this. And so that stuck with me, that we have to be responsible for things. Doesn't matter how old we are. So.
Now, I think that's a great way of thinking, because my philosophy has always been is you figure out what works and you figure out what doesn't. You keep the stuff that works and you throw out the stuff that doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think people really understand that the life that we have here, the life that we have left, I think we need to make it the best possible life that we have, that we were able to make an impact. And like you said, get the family name, put it out there, and be able to make sure it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of touch on that?
Well, yeah, because like I said, my mom was a teacher's aide with special needs kids for 25 years. My dad was an accountant for years. My sister knew a lot of people. She worked at the elections department for a long time. So lots of different sections of my family were known in with different people. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes if they'd see me around, they'd be like, oh, who are you? And I'd be like, oh, I'm Rudy Tovar. And they'd be like, oh, you're so-and-so's son or brother. And I'm like, yeah. So I felt like sometimes that got people wanting to observe how I was just because of who I'm related to.
Yeah.
And so that pretty much kept me out of trouble for the most part. So, because, you know, there's still times I'm just glad when I grew up, Facebook and social media wasn't a thing. Yeah. So, but because there was one time when I was in school, one of the teachers wanted help with something, and they asked myself and some of the other guys in my class to help move some stuff. So we went across the street, went to this garage and started moving some stuff. And my sister pulled up in the van and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I go, this teacher asked me to do this, you know, and she's like, is that right? And he's like, yeah. He's helping us out. I'm like, oh, okay. I go, what are you even doing here? She's like, you never know when I'm around, but I might be pop around. In, yeah. And I'm like, ugh.
So from 640 pounds to what are you now?
Right now I'm about 350.
Wow, that's a significant weight loss. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I think that you're one of the most inspiring people to have done that journey, because that's not easy.
Yeah.
At all, by any feats.
Yeah, and I keep trying to run in my head that it's all been done within a 2-year time span. It's not something that's long. It's been a short amount of time.
So what keeps you going?
Workout wise or just
in general?
Well, now I like getting out of bed and doing the things that I'm doing. People I see at work and interacting with my friends at church and stuff like that. And because now I volunteer to work with the children's church. I work every other Sunday because I think, you know, one Sunday for me to get the lesson, one Sunday for the kids to spend time with the kids. Because I've done it before when I worked with the kids, maybe like 15 years ago or so. But I think being there for kids is an important thing, because what got me into wanting to go to church was there was a vacation Bible school that came to the park across the street from where I grew up in Polk. And so because of the teenagers that came and visited us and did stuff with us that week, that got me to start going to church. And I just been at the same church for decades now, with the exception of the 10 years where I lived in Harlingen where I was working.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are kids that kind of fall to the wayside because a lot of them are, you know, happy running around doing all this stuff. But then you have some that I kind of identify with, because by nature, I'm introverted. I'm not a person who gets very excited about stuff and runs around and, you know, perky. I don't do perky.
Mm-hmm.
There are some kids that I notice are either kind of withdrawn or things like that, or are dealing with other issues and things like that. And that those are the ones that I feel might not get enough attention from some of the other workers. And those are the ones I try to go like, hey, how are you doing at school? Or did you bring, they have a car. Oh, what car is that? Is that your favorite car? You know, yeah. Just little talks. And you'd be surprised just paying a little bit of attention to a kid just and talking to them about themselves just will change their whole demeanor.
Right.
And because, you know, they get it. Maybe they get the attention at home. Maybe they don't. But if they know that at least they'll get it there, you know, that'll help them grow and come out of their shells and things like that.
Yeah. So. In the past 2 years, throughout your journey, what is the best piece of advice that you can leave for somebody?
changing your physical is a, it's a good thing to do, but I think you need to approach this as not just a sprint to drop 50 pounds for, you know, summer season. It's going to be a marathon, and you have to approach it three ways. The mental, address your mental outlook, as if you do need to do some time with a therapist and things like that, and find, get your head right and deal with some past traumas or issues that you have with yourself, because maybe you're seeing, you can, let's say you lost 30 pounds and you bulked up, and but in your head you're still seeing yourself the way you used to look. Mm-hmm. That's a problem, because you've got some sort of body dysmorphia thing. So maybe be willing to talk to somebody about that. The physical, yeah, go out and do the work. Put in the time, put in the effort. And the spiritual, you know, personally, I'm a Christian, so I go to church. I believe that what the people invested in me, whether it be money or prayer or whatever, should be paid forward. That's why I've gone back to working with kids. And because wherever you see a need, try and fill it. And doing things like that helps you out too, because, you know, you're seeing that something you did is bringing joy to someone right then and there.
Yeah.
And I'm more of a proponent of someone who, like, do something quietly. You don't always need to announce to the world, hey, I'm gonna go and donate these 40 meals, or I'm gonna give this batch of toys. And just, you know, maybe you want to do something large like that, but do it on the radar. Yeah. You don't, all that, the only people that need to know are yourself and God. So
before we finish out the podcast, I know I asked you this before, how do we lower the obesity rate here in the Rio Grande Valley?
I think they're the two biggest challenges would be how much food costs, and that's not just a Rio Grande Valley problem, that's a countrywide problem. But since costs might be a thing that we might not be able to change ourselves, portion control. Like, I know it's hard to control yourself with certain foods, like especially with things like buffets and all that, but possibly what can help is holding yourself accountable. What, like, you, yeah, it's good to have a trainer, but if you don't have a trainer, keep yourself accountable to yourself. Do one of those food calorie counters. Brandon recommended one to me. I still use it, and it lets me know how many calories I'm going to be using. And so sometimes I might be like, oh, you know, I'm on the road, I wouldn't mind getting a double cheeseburger, and I'll check the thing, and I'm be like, I wouldn't mind it, but I do mind those 450 calories, or
yeah.
Or same thing with like ice cream or whatever. And I think sometimes seeing the numbers will be enough to keep you away from making the wrong choices. But if you feel that that's not the way, you know, just talk to a buddy who maybe is also going to the gym or something like that, and be like, hey, I need to tell you what I'm eating on a daily basis, so that way I have to keep myself in check. Right. That'll keep me in check, you know. And maybe they'll do the same with you. But I think it's accountability, portion control, and making the choice to buy the right stuff.
Yeah.
And also just What kind of, like, at least in Brownsville, I don't know about McAllen. I just driving up here, y'all's traffic.
It's horrible.
Not a fan.
Yeah,
that's why I got lost. But we don't have the greatest walkways. Like, I think now they're trying to make it a little better. But before I bought a car with the money that Jesse gave me, not all of it, mind you, but I would walk everywhere. And so walking down Boca Chica, that area doesn't have a lot of sidewalk area to walk in. Mm-hmm. So you're walking on the literal street, and you can get hit by a car. And so, yeah, you can go to a designated area, but what about the people that just walk because they have to?
Right.
They don't really have that much of a choice. And I think more walk-friendly sidewalks and things like that in certain cities. How's the walking situation here?
It's there's a few places you can go. They're building more. There's more that are popping up. I've seen more activity here in McAllen areas. I know Edinburgh has an initiative. So does McAllen, and trying to get people a little bit more healthy because they don't want to be viewed as the top the most obese city in the nation. So I know they're doing something. And I know when I started my weight loss and I lost it, I was like preaching to everybody. It's like, you got to do this. 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 And nobody was listening. And then I figured out is the only way you can get people to listen to you is by inspiring them. Am I onto something there?
I guess so, because my, like I said, I wasn't a person who wanted to be like in front of the camera. I've always been a background person and stuff like that. I think the night before Jesse and I did the Philadelphia run, we were talking about some stuff, and I think he was talking about like how inspiring it'll be, and I was like, I don't know, man. I go, I'm more of a background guy. I'm an observer. I'm not a spotlight guy. And he's like, and he told me like, look at everything that you've done so far, like from where you were to where you are, to what we're about to do, all the people that are following you and all that. You might have told yourself that you were a background guy, but believe me, you're a spotlight guy.
Yeah. I think you are the best candidates to help lower the obesity rate in the Rio Grande Valley. So I commend you for that, man.
Oh, thanks.
So let everybody know where they can find you and follow your journey.
I mainly use Instagram. So it's at the Ranting Dead. There's going to be underscores between each word. I have Twitter. I don't really use the Twitter, Instagram occasional, or TikTok occasionally. I have a Facebook, but that's just for people I know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, once again, thank you for your time. Thank you for your insight, man. And we'll catch you all in the next sesh. Later.